Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 nonprofit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
Welcome back to the Revital Health Podcast. Today, I sit down with Richie. Richie Norton is a former professional rugby player turned globally recognized human performance and leadership coach. Richie brings a powerful fusion of physical training, movement mechanics, breathwork, and mindset mastery to the table, helping individuals and organizations unlock their full potential. We dive deep into the identity shifts that come with life transitions, the rituals that anchor peak performance, and why resilience is built through playful excellence, daily consistency, and presence. If you've ever felt stuck, burnt out, or unsure of your next step, this episode is your invitation to reset, refocus, and rise. All right. Welcome to the show, Richie Norton. It's beautiful to have you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm honored.
So I always like to dive in straight away and hear about you. And so listeners, watchers can discover where you've come from, why you've landed in this beautiful space of supporting and helping people in so many different diverse ways. So, and I know that you were originally a professional rugby player, which is right in the sport itself. So, tell us about you, Richie.
So I'll give you the short version, first of all. There's definitely a few chapters to this.
I can imagine.
but the space I'm currently in, working in like health and wellness space, but with a better understanding now of how this holistic approach and more of a 360 understanding of the human being that I'm working with and leading by my own example and the journey that I've been on, I believe anything is possible if you're able to put in the right practices and the right tools. So I've turned into this multifunctional life coach and mentor to many interesting people, which is what's so great. I started off working with athletes because that's who I related to the most. But now realize the same tools that I've practiced for the last 15 years as a coach work with absolutely everybody, because we're now having to perform at this higher level, dealing with more stress, dealing with more drama, dealing with more bodily issues, illnesses, and so on and so forth. But how I got here, I started off as that rugby player that went all in on his career, thinking it would be the be all and end all. That would be it. I'd be a TV pundit and celebrating all my success. But in my late 20s, had some injuries that ended my career and left me crashed, really, and pretty lost, let's say. A lack of understanding what I wanted to do, my identity, what my purpose was. I was in that male dilemma of identity crisis and didn't take care of myself. So there was this crash, which was a physical neglect of my body, eating, drinking, and just losing my way for quite some time. which led to more emotional instability, definitely mental health, as we could identify it as being exactly what was going on, not understanding my mental state and how it was affecting my mood and my actions and my habits and my behavior. So the coaching piece came around when I met someone who I related to, I connected with, was able to guide me out the other side of this dark little pit I was in, introduced me to yoga, introduced me to meditation, introduced me to breath work, showed me the power of connection and community and being in nature and all these things that I knew I loved, but I disconnected from. And I hadn't pieced them all together. I'd never seen them as one big magical list of powerful tools that were there to help me become the best version of me. And I realized this in my early 30s when I should have maybe been retiring and maybe being in my prime, depending on what sport I'm in. I realized it was almost like a rebirth. And the short version is I spent the next 5 years studying, traveling, working with as many different practitioners as I could, learning how to rebuild my broken body. Learn how to fix my dysregulated nervous system, learning how to be more in tune with me and becoming the version I am now that is still upgrading every year where he can.
I can imagine.
And so I'm now a yoga teacher. I teach breath work, I teach meditation, I work with mindset, I work with how the nervous system plays a big role in everybody's life. No matter what you're working on. And this is why it's been so powerful to be able to give back because I realize now my journey, my truth, and all the lessons that I've learned along the way are now gifts to other people to help them out of their troubles, but also maybe help them and prevent them from making the mistakes that we can make. And here I am now.
And it's such a important thing, as you say, that the increase in stress, increase in pressure, the increase in life and illness and sickness is massively on the rise. And I notice that in my practice daily. And it's really hard because I feel like clients and people who don't really know where to go to, and it's sort of grappling with whatever they've been presented with, and it's not always a clear path in which way they should start or take to actually get some support to actually get to that next stage or make that next step. And it's to the beauty of people like yourself who have gone and had to explore this for their own rebirth, like you say, and then to bring these tools to the people and to be able to explain it and share it and actually be able to walk with people all the way through those journeys, because otherwise it can be so daunting. I was having this conversation with a client just before coming on, and like talking about breath work and how we can be regulating the vagal nerves and to be looking at those impacts of having the chronic fatigue and supporting through breath work. But she said, what breath work? Like, what is that? What can we do there? So, I would love to in later on in this podcast, I get actually into some of these details of like, what does that look like for people? Because I think these sorts of openings of awareness of what that those tools are is really those key points to be like, oh, well, that's not so scary. Like, I can do a little bit of that. And then it leads into those next parts. But I think what you said about being in sport, and I hear this so much in that, you're invested so much, and then suddenly something happens and your whole identity shifts. So, I guess what was the, some of the things that you've already sort of touched on them, but exploring that a little bit deeper, like what did you feel in those moments? How did you feel when it actually came to the point where you're like, well, maybe who am I? What am I at without this sport? Because a lot of people, I feel, go through some part of this.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it comes up quite a lot when I speak to a lot of ex-rugby boys that are now able to speak a bit more openly now that they know it's okay to not be okay about certain things. And that's what I love about speaking your truth and also just kind of like owning your mistakes and recognizing where you could have done better and how are you going to improve. I was definitely that person that didn't want to face up to the fact that I was not in my best state of mind and also physical inability to do what I have come so used to being able to do so easily. We commit to a lot of different things in our life that take our soul when we're so into it. It doesn't have to be sport, just to set the scene for anyone who's not an athlete, but they're committed to their passion in some way. It might be the business, it might be something in life that means everything to them. They go all in and then they lose it. It's a real shock of then losing your purpose, losing your identity, losing your true heart-led, soul-driven passion, the thing that you think you're here for. And I would say the most consistent thing that comes up when I'm working with people that are worried about it, or maybe they're going through it, and how do they rebuild? We're able to do incredible things. We just often get so focused and lasered in on that task, which is great. It's important to do it well. If you want to do it well, you've got to go all in. You've got to give it all your attention. The more you can narrow that down, the more you can execute and be more efficient and be more targeted and then lead at the highest level, because you're setting that standard. You're doing the very best you can. And if you just reframe all of the skills and all the determination and all the resilience and all the consistency and all the commitment and sacrifice and discipline that's required to achieve that goal, to get to that level in that sport, in that discipline, that can be rejigged and then built into your next project, which is what I think is so exciting about where I am now. And the people I get to work with that are in their late 50s, 60s, who might be thinking about retiring, going, right, what's next? I've done that, completed that. That didn't quite work. I've learned a few lessons. I know what to do better now. I'm just going to pivot a little bit. And that's what I think is so exciting, when people realize that's for everybody now. The world is even more open now for people to go and take a leap into something that excites them, challenges them, tests them, pushes them. Because that for me is what's living in us. That's what allows us to thrive and be excited and have real purpose and passion. That should never dim in my eye. And I just think my other point on that is, because I felt like the world was over, but all of a sudden, just because someone helped me understand that I had other skills, I had other qualities, like being a good person, and then maybe doing something for others, it became less about what I needed and what I wanted, and more about where can I add some value? Where can I be of service? Where can I bring something to the table? What you're doing then, if you're reframing it, is you're doing something of value that will help someone else in need. And it doesn't need to be sport, doesn't need to be coaching. It can be some sort of business. It can be some sort of care, it could be some sort of service. But you're doing it from a really powerful point of intention and belief, and trusting that if you keep doing the work and you keep trying and you keep learning and you keep upskilling, you keep setting that bar a little bit higher, you won't be where you began. You'll be somewhere else. And that's what I love about it. And for me, if we're packaging up coaching, because I have many, many strings to my bow now, and I work with such an array of amazing, interesting people, I know the blueprint of that attitude and that behavior works. And that's what's so exciting, and again, why I enjoy having these conversations. So it hopefully inspires people to go, do you know what? Yeah, you're right. I need to do it. I can do it. I just need to understand it in a slightly different way.
Yeah. And there's definitely different psyches, isn't there? So I think this belief system, and actually knowing that there is, I guess taking the leap is some part, and I always relate it back to my own experience with business. You know, I'm always like trying to take the next steps, but it's so scary, and it's so you feel like you're constantly taking a risk, and you're constantly challenged, and you're constantly pushing yourself, but you look back and you go, oh wow, look where I've come from. And there's just been constant, you know, steps and steps, but it feels like you've fallen down maybe a few times, of course, but you keep on working towards that goal. And I think that's the trickiest thing, is to where you are at and to see where you want to be, or where you feel like you should be. And then there's, you know, again, sickness, stress, mental health issues. People are dealing with so much, family. There's so much more that's sort of piled on top of you as you get a little bit older, but and our resiliency naturally goes down. Like you said, a spark starts to dimmer. And so you want to bring that spark back in. You want to make sure you feel that. And I think that's that resiliency piece. It's really huge. And some of these things that you teach and you speak about, it really helps to then regulate it so you can keep that going. You don't feel like your body is getting tired or exhausted, that you can keep moving with your goals and your passion. So yeah, I think that's it's beautiful. So let's actually step into then how you approach, you know, what you do in terms of human performance. What does that piece look like? You know, it's interesting to hear very unique ways of looking at, like you said, packaging things together and actually seeing how you help people through these, and obviously what the difference is, because you see sports people, you see corporate, you know, leaders, you're seeing, like you say, people in their 50s, 60s and like ready, like, let's get going, let's move through this. So, you know, what do you see for those most important pieces of the puzzle when you package this together?
So I would say there's definitely not just one way that suits every single person, but there are some consistencies in what moves the needle forwards, which I think is hopefully going to be inspiring and hopefully helpful for people listening to this. So because I'm fortunate enough to not just work with the elite athlete, but I understand the performance requirements for the elite athlete and what they need to do in terms of discipline and hitting those precise markers to get to where they want to be, because it is small percentage of gains that make big, big, big changes. Excuse me. When you think about the array of different people out there in the world now, entrepreneurs, people pushing boundaries, people taking big chances and moving fast and being busy and having to adapt to a constantly changing market, constantly changing environment, lots more competition. I actually enjoy that because I've reframed that. It allows me to stay on my toes. It's not just easy just to create anything anymore. You have to put the work in. So whether that's you losing weight and getting to a certain body weight, or you're building muscle or getting to a certain pace or building up certain skills to perform at that sport, or on the flip side, you're just trying to get that promotion, you're trying to reach that CEO level, you're trying to build that business and be competitive in that market, you have to get very clear with the mindset and the behavior and the habits that that person already has. And that's what I love about the sort of more visualization and tapping into what standards you need to keep to be that professional person that is going to outwork, outstudy, outtrain, outsmart your competition. So you have the edge. And this is why I can talk to both people. I like to speak to the human being, but I only tend to attract people that are people that want to do the work. If you don't want to do the work and you want someone to do it with you, or you're just happy just ticking off the box and going for the motions, I'm probably not your coach, because I expect a certain standard, because you promised me that you want this that much. I will get you there. All you have to do is do the work. I can show you the way, but you have to still take the steps, which I hope is inspiring for people. Because I'd say the biggest thing for anybody that's out there trying to make some changes, especially if you've had a few knocks or you feel a bit disheartened or you're just starting out, it can be really overwhelming. It can be really intimidating, especially if you've had some bad experiences. You might not have the right support group around you. You might have to really do a massive audit of your life and your environment. But if I speak to the corporate athlete, just like I would speak to the sports athlete, it's the same conversation. If I'm talking to anybody, want to be better at something, you've got to do more than your opposition. You've got to put in the work now and start to behave like that person has already been successful. You've got that goal. And we use this a lot in visualization exercises, because when your mindset aligns with, oh yeah, I can imagine being there, I can imagine winning that competition, I can imagine scoring that try, I can imagine getting that CEO promotion. Okay, well, if you can't, then there's a block. And if you can't see that, you can't believe in it, you don't think you deserve it, it's usually because you haven't put enough work in yet. You haven't done that deep enough work to really make sure it is exactly what you want. Because when that is locked in, we lay this amazing foundation of belief and trust in the process. All it is just repeat, level up, level up, level up, level up, level up. And then all of a sudden, you're competing at a very different level. And then you never lose that. because you've ingrained those habits at that next level in such a dialed in way, you cannot fail because you're not responding to things in the same way. You're dealing with things with a mindset that it's very progressive. You don't get stuck. You're looking forwards, and you might need to pivot, but it's the execution of the daily habits, the rituals, the behavior, the mindset that you're just drilling in that is transforming the person to become whatever it is they put their mind on. And that's what's so exciting. You just got to start with real intention behind something that really matters to you enough to put the work in that someone else isn't. And that's what's so exciting. What makes my job fun is because I'm on that journey with these people too, you know?
Yeah, you get to see and you get to fill your cup with what they're achieving as well, which is really cool.
100%. Part of their journey. What a gift.
Yeah. And it's right, you're right. Like, that's that grit. And what I notice, you know, especially in a business where I'm also helping, supporting, mentoring practitioners, but also with clients, I feel that there's some of this grit, I call it grit, like that the grit is missing from a lot of people. It's like the work that people feel like they have to put in, it's not like it used to be. And so the expectation, because I think naturally with what we're given in the world, there's all this immediate gratification. There's all these things that are explored on social media, you know, showing that this is, you know, this person is here, and you don't see that journey. You don't see the hard, you know, sweat, blood and tears that actually took them to get to there. And so sometimes I find it hard to see that or to bring that out in people, is like get them passionate about something so they really want that. Same with health here. It's like, you know, do you really want to get better? If you don't, I can't help you. Like you say, like it's something that they need to want so badly so they can see that there. So I think that's a really important piece, is that you can't just think you want it. You have to viscerally feel that you want it. You need to see that. So that visualization piece is huge. Absolutely.
What I'll add to that, actually, you just touched upon something there that I might not have been clear on, because what I mentioned is a lot around the mindset and the energy, behavior, habits, things like that, which is so key. But we might not even have the spark yet to take that next leap, to start behaving like that and taking those steps. So if I was to go back to basics of, like, I've just met someone, I can tell they're not quite there, but they know that something needs to change, but they might not be able to, like, put a pin on it, exactly what it is, to light that fire inside of them, which a lot of us need, because the world is obviously challenging us right now. There's a lot of things trying to bring us down. There's a lot of things weighing on us that are keeping us subdued. And one of the biggest things that makes a big impact on my own life is getting very clear with what is that spark when I feel a bit flat, when I feel I've got to dig deep and find some of that grit that might have been mislaid. None of the stuff that I want to build is possible if I'm ill, if I'm not healthy, if I'm not taking care of myself. Anybody I want to go and compete with, I want to train and achieve a certain physical goal, or maybe, you know, get a certain deal over the line. If I'm not on my A game, that's very unlikely that's going to happen. So what I love about all this, it all comes back to you being the priority, your health, your well-being, you as a person, whoever's listening to this, it starts with you being the best shape of your life, not just physical shape, physical, mental, and emotional awareness. Those sorts of skills, that discipline that you build when you create the best version of us. And I know I'm speaking to you, the converted. I know you get this. But I'm trying to speak to absolutely everybody, so this hits home. In the 15 years I've been doing what I'm doing, when that person realizes how fragile and precious your existence is, your life, this incredible vessel that you're in, if you neglect it, you don't take care of it, you don't prioritize it, you don't nurture it, it's not going to work for you. You're forcing something that is not naturally coming out of you in the natural way. And when you tap into the physical, like you're working on your body, you're getting stronger, you're getting out for walks, you're eating good food, your mindset shifts because you're feeding this healthy vibration inside of you that lifts your spirits, keeps you on track, keeps the discipline in mind, that you then channel into everything that you do. So you can get behind it in every energetic way. And that sort of stuff is the difference between someone coming third and winning or not even completing the task, because they've let all these other things be neglected. And you'll probably come across this yourself.
Yeah.
I come across a lot of people who are very successful, lots of money in the bank, all these achievements, but they're burnt out, they're run down, they're tired, they're not happy, they're not living their best life. So it means nothing having all these things that they worked so hard and sacrificed for. And my biggest mission is to them to get back into their body and start feeling good in themselves, and then watch to see what they're capable of. It takes a whole new trajectory.
Yeah.
So it always starts with them. No one can tell me any different. It always starts with that person and their connection with themselves and their body and their mind, and being more emotionally aware, because that sort of guidance is an unstoppable force that you can challenge to anything you want to go and build. And that for me is the most exciting thing to unlock in anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. So Richie, I know you've got this Adapt Explore. So you're sort of running, events, workshops, that sort of thing. So how, speaking about that, starting with self-health, all these aspects that you're mentioning about, to be looking after that as the top priority. So how, I guess, what is there a stepped approach that you look at? Is there, key things that you like to mention, I guess, to make sure that that they are the key factors that need to be there? How do you start with people? I know it's all an individual process, but I guess it's just good to sort of lay it out and sort of, put all those areas in. Because I know for what I struggle with sometimes with clients is that, everyone's at a different point. So we always have to meet them where they're at. Clients are definitely at very, very different levels all the time. Some people have a good awareness around what nutrition is. Some people don't. Some people know what breathing is. They don't. Some people, know that sleep's important. Some people are like, I don't need sleep. So there could be so many different aspects to this. So how do you even breach this with people? How do you start?
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. I'm going to
start
by saying I don't want people to get too caught up with having any certain requirements before I can work with them. They just have to have the need, the want to do something about it. They want to take action. We want a lot of help and support. We want all the secrets. We want to know what works for that person, so it hopefully works for me. There's this deeper mission that needs to happen first. There has to be this deeper intention and belief that there is more and that it's out there. So because I'm so fortunate to work with such a mix of different ages and abilities and professions, the consistent thing I always see in people that are coming to these events, that come into workshops, that reach out to me for help or want some more guidance, they're curious. They feel that something's just not right, and they don't want to stay stuck anymore. So physically, you can be in any shape of any shape, overweight, ill, run down, tired, burnt out. All I have to deal with there is just focusing on the basics with that person, just to get back into feeling a little bit better and giving them more control and early feedback of some positive feedback and wins for them to get more buy-in. And for me, keeping things super simple, like a morning meditation practice, or just going out to walk the dogs in the morning, drinking your water in the morning, not opening your laptop as soon as you wake up, taking a minute just to close your eyes and maybe write down what you need to achieve that day. Really simple, some very cliche wellnessy bits and pieces, but they work. We overcomplicate what it is we need to do to be able to have this transformation. You don't need a retreat a lot of the time. It could be a great reset. We use them as a chance for people to go through the steps real time.
Yeah.
And then absorb as much as of our knowledge as possible. So they go, oh, so that's how it feels. Oh, so that's what it looks like. And then we send them on their way.
Yeah.
So for me, retreats, workshops, talks, or just a chance for me to plant some seeds in people's minds and get them to physically, mentally, emotionally understand what those things can do for them. So they can start to put them into practice in their own lives, no matter what that life is. The short, simple, easy daily rituals that you know work for you lay the foundation for those next big steps, which might be the marathon, might be the course, might be the deep intensive 12-week program.
Yeah.
So for me, to inspire people to take that leap, you've got to go with the lowest hanging fruit of what that first step towards something better is.
Mm-hmm.
Is that listening to this podcast?
Mm.
Is that going on a retreat? Is that coming to one of my talks? Is that listening to an online course? Is that jumping onto an app and doing meditation for a week? The point is, the incentive is that it's worth the effort, because it's like a big experiment that is definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about all these different portals to where you can begin this journey, and then we hopefully then can steer people down the path that they're more aligned with, because not everyone is on the same path.
No.
But they're all hopefully moving in a direction of feeling better, being better, and wanting more.
Yeah.
And that for me is why I love doing lots of different things, even though it's not always the most efficient.
Yeah.
It allows me to reach more people and add more value.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I want to sort of break down just sort of a couple of aspects. So movement, I know movement has a huge piece of your history and where you've come from, but how do you integrate that into some of your coaching, into your retreats? You know, what sort of, what does that look like? Is it more somatic? Is it more fitness? I know this is different, but I guess some ideas of how you might be doing things a little bit differently.
I would like to think I'm not doing things too different to what most people would see as movement. But just to get really simple with this, movement comes in many different forms. The main thing is that we are moving every day in as many different ways as possible to keep our body in good health. Movement started for me as doing some sprinting for rugby, doing some speed drills, playing all sorts of sports, jumping off cliffs, jumping in lakes, snowboarding. Movement was for me absolutely everything. I didn't realize how important it was, but for me, that's how I let off steam. That's how I down-regulated my nervous system, though I didn't understand it back then. This is how I, you know, had some form of outlet that allowed me to exert this built-up frustration that might have come up inside of me. But the fact that I realize now movement is key for us to grow all gracefully and to keep doing the things that we want to do. If we stop moving and we stop challenging the body and we stop playing these different planes of motion and keeping the heart rate up and moving all this blood and oxygen around the body, mobilizing the body, being outside, ticking all these movement boxes, things start to break down. Things start to shut down. They stop working. They become dysfunctional. So once people understand that it's absolutely key for you to not stop moving in some way every day, it's then choosing which one is that first, I guess, easy accessible movement practice. So break it down: movement, walking outside, just literally walking around the block, walking your dogs. Movement is having a little flow on the floor, on your yoga mat, in your house, because you haven't got enough time, 10 minutes. Something that exerts your body in some way, raises your heart rate, gets you feeling like you're in your body. And then there's different levels of that. Maybe it's riding the bike. Maybe it's rowing your boat down the river. Maybe it's, you know, playing in your canoe. Maybe it's going for a surf. It's like, what is it? What do you love the most? What are you going to be the most consistent with? What's the easiest, most accessible form of movement? And then just lock it in every day. It's a real baseline. But it does so much for you. Lifts those happy hormones, gets the endorphins moving, you know, it lifts the spirit, gets the mind and body connected, allows you to step out of this stiff, rigid, hunched over, poor posture body that we're sitting in.
Yeah.
And I feel that the more likely you are to keep it up, it comes down to which movement practice that you keep, and it can change every day. We just have to keep moving, and we have to keep also pushing those boundaries a little bit. And that's obviously different for everybody, but we should constantly look to try and challenge ourselves.
Yeah, it's that comfort zone, isn't it? Stepping outside of that. And you know, sometimes training can feel like slower on some days. And obviously women are different in terms of their training capacities on some times of the month as well. But yeah, sometimes it's just that looking at how can I stretch just a little bit more, be a little bit more uncomfortable, and be able to work that into our day. And like you say, it's like enjoying the things that you like to do and move. And Sometimes I talk to people and it's like, I don't like moving. I haven't exercised for 20 years. I'm like, what? But you move around the house, you like lift stuff and you walk outside and you do some gardening. Like that's all still movement. So all these things can be something that people start with at least. And that's the preface is really is that it's so important for us to move, like you say. So I wanted to dive into a little bit of breath work. So I guess it's hard because there's so much, again, with what we can be doing with breath work. And so, again, it's sort of like just these little tips and tricks of maybe how you look at breath work. Do you do full sessions? Do you like people or do you advise people to be doing it daily, weekly, half hours, hours, you know, big, deep, deep sessions, clearance sessions, holotropic breathing? So that it's sometimes, again, it can be very overwhelming. So maybe a little bit more guidance from what you see.
Yeah, I'll take that right down to the basics real quick. The world of breathwork is like the Wild West at the moment, and also very overwhelming and a minefield of what works. So I like to start with the fact that most people think it has to be some sort of like spiritual experience, and you have to be sat like a little Buddha, or it's very similar to meditation. Breathwork and meditation sit in the same space, but one supports the other in my eyes. And I think a way for us to all to start using breathwork right now, you're breathing already. We're all breathing. I think we overcomplicate that we've got to sit and we've got to do something for a certain amount of time. I wouldn't even put a time on it. I would just start to bring attention to your breathing more often. And get the feedback from what your breathing is telling you. Are you breathing through your mouth? Are you breathing through your nose? How's it making you feel? Are you stressed? Are you anxious? Are you calm? And just by knowing when you're breathing in and when you're breathing out, that's a mindful exercise. That's a form of meditation, being present in the moment of breathing in, breathing out. How's that making you feel? Just that intention to stop and to be more in tune with your breathing pattern is a great way for you to regulate your state of mind and your mood and your energy. So if you can't meditate and you struggle because you can't sit still, most people struggle with that, or you're overstimulated, you're upregulated, as I'd say, a great way to bring those levels down is to deepen the breath, slow it right down, maybe hold the breath at the top, hold the breath when you've breathed everything out, and just stay in a few cycles. Just 10 cycles make a big difference. And then as that doorway opens up and you get more comfortable, you know how your body responds, you can maybe look at more transformational breathing, more conscious, connected breath, where there's these bigger emotional shifts and there's more, maybe more rhythm and more delicacy around how long you're doing it for, tempo and everything else. There's so many different avenues to go down. Some create big emotional releases. But if you haven't done the basics of like just being able to regulate to calm yourself down, you can find yourself too overstimulated and get stuck there. For me, it's like choosing the right resource, the right coach, the right guide, experiment, see what works for you. And then you have this unlock because you always feel like you're super present and you feel like dialed in. Like right now, before I start this podcast, I have to take a few breaths to settle myself down. And it might just look like a breath in and a big sigh, but what's happening is my body's going, and all of a sudden I can focus better. And if you want to try this right now, how are you breathing? Take a few breaths in and out, slow it right down. I don't really exaggerated sigh. Most people feel this, their shoulders will soften, their face will relax. And on the flip side, if you want to upregulate, create a bit of a boost, you're a bit flat, you feel rather than reaching in front of a coffee, go outside, move a bit quicker, get your heart rate up, breathe a bit more intentionally, follow your breath, breathe in, breathe out. And if you can't even leave your desk, or in and out of the nose, my nose isn't working very well right now because I had a cold last week. But when it is working better, I will try and breathe through my nose. You will be able to feel your body and your mind start to come online a little bit more. And then you slow it down And then you use that focus, you use that body stimulation to then channel into being more alert. And it's just this beautiful wave of awareness that if you don't pay attention to, you usually get these big crashes because you've been in this high state of stress and you've not paid attention to that high straight state of stress stimulation.
Yeah.
So you have to level it off and slow the breath down and then take it back up again. That's okay, but you level it off straight away. So we're doing this wave through the day rather than like, crash, which is what most people do, as you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes sense, but there's a lot to unpack, but don't overcomplicate it. Just be more consistent and be more on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's some great ideas in there that people can utilize. And I like that big physiological sigh as well, that double intake and out. It's just such a beautiful way of just really bringing the body back down into that. And again, it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. Like you say, it can just be making sure that you're just taking a breath in and taking a breath out and remembering to actually breathe. Oxygen and carbon dioxide is life, everyone. So brilliant. So Richie, I just wanted to chat to you about the future and what it looks like for you and what sort of you're excited about and what you've got going on at the moment and also where people can find you so we can tie all that into. I always love asking everyone on the show to what excites them about the future, because again, like you say, it's good to have that spark and we're looking forward and we're always, you know, it's not always that we're aiming for more and we're not grateful for the current what we've got, but we want that creation, we want that spark to drive us forward. So what are you excited about?
So I'll start with the world and what I see in the space, and I'll keep it super simple because I have to, you know, make sure I'm tuned into what other people are experiencing to try and help guide them and help them navigate making some better decisions and being optimistic. Optimism, positive thoughts, looking ahead, what am I looking forward to? What can we all collectively look forward to? It's doing better. It's finding ways to improve. It's looking at the world and realizing how precious the world is and how important it is to be more kind. And I think there's this really nice collective sort of more awake consciousness of people talking more openly now. And I'm choosing to focus on that kind of community. And I'm hoping it's growing. The power of what social media is good at is connecting us. And I love that people are starting to take ownership of their own health, their own well-being, taking charge of what they feel that they need, not feeling like they're having to listen to all these other people who are gurus or experts in their field. It's learning to know what works for you. And I love and I'm excited about more people taking charge of that and putting themselves first, because I feel like that's collectively going to start to make the world a better place, because we're going to be able to speak more openly. Mental health is going to be something that we're all talking about, so we can help navigate it more. We have deeper conversations. We have better conversations. We take more positive action. And there's more people out there looking to build communities and bringing people together, because we've got this disconnection for various reasons. And when we start to find our tribe and find our people, we start to have these conversations, we can stay in this lifted state and rather than feel like we're on our own and stay in this suffering. I'm hoping I'm part of that. So personally, it's like knowing that I'm excited about bringing new projects, new programs, new courses, new events, new workshops to the table. And I'm really excited to bring them all to life because it's coming from a really good intention in me. And a very clear vision that I know this is going to be of use, and it's me being of service, and it's given me a reason to like keep working on these things. And I'm excited about connecting more people around the world. And I think for me, that collectively, those two points, those two responses, hopefully lift everybody up to know that, yes, that's there for them too.
Yeah.
If you've not found it yet, keep looking, keep searching. No one has to be on their own. No one has to feel they're on their own. No one has to do it on their own. There are people out there. There are great people out there doing great things. You just got to go and find them and surround yourself in that energy and everything will be okay. And I'm trusting that's a positive and optimistic way to look at
yeah. That's a really, it's a really important point, I think, is not to feel alone. And there's always someone out there to support. It's just a matter of finding the person that's the perfect fit for that particular time or forever. It could be just a season, it could be forever. But I think that's a very powerful realization for a lot of people. So what programs, what things, where should people be looking to find you, Richie? I know I've seen some exciting things coming on the website, so
It probably doesn't help my business that much because I give so many different people different options. But my website is usually a good place to sort of get updates, even though it's currently being updated. But my social media is probably the most real, most live, most interactive space. And my website then allows people to maybe find something that's more around some guidance and some courses and working with me personally, or coming to an event or a retreat or a workshop, especially when I'm doing these tours, which are going to happen hopefully a little bit more around the world as I get a bit more settled into that. But for me, I think leaving it very open for people just to reach out and just ask for help and just help me help them by maybe getting more insight into what they're looking for. I can then maybe even customize some sort of support or steer them in the right direction. That way, hopefully, there's something for everybody there. So I always encourage everybody to reach out. I still answer all my own DMs. I try and turn up as often as I can so they actually get me. That's always a good thing. I hope to share just in case anyone needs that extra nudge.
And it's important, but it's a big thing to hold. And I think my last question for you this morning and the evening for me is, that is a whole lot of space to hold, right? So there is a huge bucket that you have to have ready for yourself. So what are your key factors that need to be that you do daily for you? And what are those things that you hold at the moment to high esteem to keep you grounded, full of energy, ready to serve?
So I would say it's really everything I've just shared in terms of the simplicity, just making sure I regularly check in with myself. I run five businesses. I do it with passion and purpose and clarity on my mission. So I'm one of those busy people. It's not if anyone says, oh, it's because he's a coach, he works for himself, he's got loads of time. I actually don't. I just use the time that I find wisely. Okay, I've got two dogs that take a lot of my time outside. So I do talks and meetings sometimes on the move when I'm out and about. So I'm getting that movement, I'm getting that time outside in nature. Breath work, I'm breathing all day as consciously as I can to get that feedback to know if I need to check out for a second or whether I need to slow down for a moment. So I'm always keeping these levels in balance as best I can. Some days I have to ramp it up and I'm in that red line for a little while. But I know that if Richie is supposed to turn up as his best self in all of these different businesses, I've got to keep my shit together, you know, and that's where the breath work and that's where the grounding exercises and making sure you're in tune, have this emotional intelligence to know what your body's telling you and you listen, you'll often get the right guidance. It's only people ignore it, they suppress it, it's going to come and get you anyway. So for me, it's those little things, the rituals, the daily little routines that allow me to make sure I've got structure around replenishing, repairing, recovering from all of this effort that I'm putting in to do all the things I'm trying to achieve. So if you think about that as a blueprint for everybody, it's a really nice way just to be in tune and be present, be connected in every day, as wherever you can in every situation, it will massively pay off. And no matter what industry you're in, no matter where you are, and what age you're at, it carries over into everything.
I totally agree 100% with all of that. So absolutely incredible. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And it's beautiful to talk to you, hear your wisdom, hear some of the things that you use to support clients with and the people that you meet. And I'll be sure to follow along with all the incredible things that you've got coming up. So thank you again for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Hopefully that's hit home and helped a few people out.
Yeah, I can imagine it has. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Rivado Health Podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Rivado Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.